Welcome to Life Change. So glad you could come. After this sermon today, we're going to license Matt as a pastor. So after his sermon, he will be Pastor Matt. So Matt has grown in the Lord. We've watched him grow in the last few years and how the Lord is using him to touch hearts and lives. And so Matt, would you come and deliver God's message that he has given you? And we have a receptive heart. Would you stand together? Join hands with one another. And ask the Lord to open your heart for what he has for you today. Also, the heart of the person that you're holding hands with. And if you have a special concern on your heart, give the person on your left or on your right or both a squeeze and let them know, I really need your prayers today. Okay? And so just start praying. God, you are so good. You're so good to me. You're so good to each one of us here. And so, Lord, we do open our hearts today to receive what you have for us. And Lord, I pray that we will not be the same when we leave here as we were when we came. God, that there would be words spoken that would affect us in such a way that there would be transformation. And Lord, again, we just lift up Matt to you and just ask your blessings upon him and bless this congregation in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? Do you have your ears plugged? Good. I already knew that you did, Bryce. I had no doubt. So I just want to welcome our friends, our visitors, and my brothers and sisters here today. Thank you for coming. And if you're new here today, you're going to find a communication card in the seat in front of you. If you would, just please fill that out and any prayer concerns you may have. And just put it in the little blue box over by the doorway. So how many of you here, it's the new year. How many here have made New Year's resolutions? Okay. How many of you have made them in the past? There we go. Yeah. So how many of those actually, how many of them were you successful on? 100%. Anyone here 100% successful? No. Yeah. 100% not. That's usually the case. How about 90%? 50%? Yeah, okay. We're getting a few more hands. I have nothing to do with it. So it shows us there's not a very good track record with this. But yet, why is that? Why do they fail? You know, what if I told you there's actually one resolution that if you were to keep it, would actually help you keep the others? And it's one resolution that we should all be seeking at this time of the year. It's something that we should put our hearts, our minds, our souls completely into. And that's to resolve to spend more time with the Lord, to seek the Lord more than we're seeking him now. Because if you really seek him in scripture, in prayer, in worship, in meditation, in church, you're going to find him. And you're going to find that when that happens, that all those other things, you know, the Holy Spirit that's inside of you is going to help you to overcome those. Because in our own, we can't do it. We fail. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So right then and there, that's the blueprint for everything. Seek God. Okay. Seek God. Okay. I have a problem with my finances. I have a problem with at work. I have a problem with my health. Excellent. You guys are still asleep. We'll work on that. I'll try and talk more monotone for you. I'm sure that'll help. So Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. If God is not involved, it will not come to fruition. It will fail. That's why we have to seek him. You know, but as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And also, if God doesn't go, I'm not going. But, you know, Jesus put it this way in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Right? So apart from God, we will fail because it's God. God is the one who breathes the breath of life. Can anyone here create life? Okay, good. Just checking. God is the one who spoke the universe into being. You know, he is the one who can see yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You know, he knows every single pathway. He knows every single probability. You know, so he's really the one that we should be seeking to overcome temptations, to overcome darkness, to persevere, and to become someone who is greater and nobler than we were before. And this is one discipline that you can't ignore. You really do have to seek God. You know, for those of you who don't know him, spend 30 minutes a day, read a Bible, pray. He will answer you. For those of us who know him, do more. Trust me, you cannot overdo seeking the Lord. You can't. Okay, maybe if you stop eating, but you'll really be seeking him, but you don't want to do that yet. So we should seek the Lord. You know, we did that when we prayed. We wanted to seek, we seek the Lord's will for this coming year. Because again, if he's not with, he's the one who leads, we follow. If we're not following him, you're putting the cart before the horse. You're going to fail. So we should seek him. Now, does the Lord want to be found? Yeah, he's not some hidden person off in somewhere else. He wants us to find us, find him. He put eternity, he put that longing in our hearts so that we would seek him, so that we could find him, so that we could have that eternal life with him. Look at Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Deuteronomy 4:29, but from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So he gives you a condition, with all your heart. Where have we heard that condition before? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. So if we're following the commandment, we're seeking God. We want that right relationship with him because we love him. Those who love him obey his commandments. So why would we want to find God? So let's think of this another way. Some of you who are visiting here today, before you came, you pulled out your phone. Whoops, if I can get mine out. And you went, Siri, take me to $3,500 Alder Lane. You know, we're so willing to rely on technology to get us from point A to point B here in this world. But this world's only temporary. So why do we have a hard time asking God to direct us spiritually? He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father except by him. So why do we just go, nope, I got it on my own. I'm sure if I'm a good person, it'll be fine. Yep. No problem. Oh, look, here's a starving person. I gave him a dollar. That gets me to heaven. No, not going to really work, is it? Yeah. For those of you who remember Tom and Renee, you know, what were they doing? You know, they sought the Lord continually, every day. What do you want us to do? The Lord told them to go to Tennessee. Now, what did the Lord do? Did he send them over there unequipped, unaware, unprepared? No, he gave him a house, gave Tom a job. He blessed them with all kinds of blessings. He had it all set up ahead of time. If you wait and are patient and seek the Lord in his time, he will deliver. Because his love knows no ends. God is sovereign, and he is who he is. He cannot lie. He cannot change his character. God is love, and God is good. How about another example? So let's say you want to put in a junction box, right? Now, you can ask Bob Vila. For those of you who don't know, you can go to YouTube. That's fine. Yes. Or you could ask me. That is the worst thing you could do. The only thing I could tell you about electricity is don't take a random chunk of metal and stick it in the outlet. Now, how I came about that knowledge, we're not going to cover today. That's for another sermon. Thou shalt not stick random metal in outlet. It's very shocking to discover. Let me tell you. Yes, you do feel it. And it's just purely an act of God's mercy. The house hasn't caught fire yet. But, you know, he's a good God. But this is the point, though. You know, we're not experts in anything. You know, but there is someone who is an expert in everything. You know, he's the one who created. He's the one that loves. He's the one that always has been and always will be. He never changes. So why do we seek the worldly ways to try to solve the spiritual issues? We should be asking the expert, Lord, you created me. Why am I going through this? How do I proceed? What should I do? You know, we should always be seeking the expert. You know, when we seek him, we do draw closer to God and we find out who he is and we learn to be close to him. Now, who is it who cries out to you, stranger danger, when old Satan comes up and is like, hey, buddy, what's going on? I want you to do something for me. It's the Holy Spirit. But if you haven't been seeking God, you don't know his voice. You don't know to listen. So when Satan says, hey, I want you to go rob a bank, you go, okay. I want you to go get drunk tonight. Okay. And drive. Okay. Because you haven't learned to listen to God. Psalm 119 says, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. That's the job. The Holy Spirit tells you, oh, you're getting close to violating the law. Stop. Stop. Don't take another step. Back up. So he teaches us what sin is. Also, when we know God, and I mean we actually know him, not know of his name, but we actually know him, we receive mercies, blessings, and hope. Because that's what God is. Lamentations 3, 21 through 26. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. God is our hope. Do you know that hope? Actually know it inside and out. Because each and every one of us is a sinner. And each and every one of us, because we're a sinner, has been condemned to death. There is only one hope of escaping this punishment, escaping eternal damnation. And that's Jesus. And it was the Father who sent him to take our punishment for our sins through his mercy and his love, because he does love us. So if you're not seeking God, you don't know him. You don't know his mercies. You don't know his goodness. You don't have that hope. You know, it may be that there's still that lingering cold hand of death on your shoulder that you're afraid of, that one day that you're afraid of dying. So there's another aspect to this. When you look at Israel during the time of David, when they were actually actively seeking the Lord, because during the time of David was the time that Israel was really seeking the Lord. What did God do for them? He increased their boundaries. He increased their harvest, gave them more crops. He increased them with prosperity and population. They got innovations because they were seeking the Lord. However, when they turned away from the Lord, what happened? Those all went away. And Israel fell and crumbled. We just went through Christmas. Now, you look at the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. These are people who are supposed to be looking for God. Daniel foretold when the Messiah would come, approximately. He said, he gave the time that the Messiah would be cut off. So you think that these holy men would be looking for the Messiah, because time's drawing near. He must be coming. Yet, on one night, you had some magi, some wise men, who show up at Herod's palace and say, hey, we see a star. We know the king of Israel's here. Now, the scribe said, oh, yeah. Because Herod was like, really? The Messiah? Pharisees, scribes, what's this? And they said, oh, yes, yes, my Lord. He's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Oh, okay. Go, Magi. Let me know what you find. Let me know if you find him. Okay, cool. Notice a couple things here. First, that these were not Jewish people from there. They were from, we think, Persia, from far away. They were looking, because in their heart they were seeking. Second thing, notice none of the scribes or Pharisees said, hey, you know what? Huh. We're about the right time, got the place. You guys say you see a new star. I'm going to go with you. I want to see this. None of them said it because their hearts were empty. Their hearts were far from the Lord. You know, there were people in Israel who were actually seeking the Messiah, who knew when he would come. Simeon and Anna, who were in the temple when Jesus was brought in by Joseph and Mary, they knew. They were looking. They were looking for him. They were looking with all their heart. Now, this kind of rejection of the Messiah by the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the scribes, what did that lead to? That led to the crucifixion of Jesus, the complete rejection. And for that, God scattered them across all the nations until 1948 when he brought them back in. So you may say, well, Matt, that's a nice story and I'm falling asleep now. Can I get some coffee? So why did I tell you that? It's part of seeking God every day. You know, how many of you here like what's going on in this country? Okay. So just to be clear, none. Okay, just checking. So when you look at this nation from the time before its inception until the 1960s, our leaders, the people as generals, sought the Lord. And they found him. And God blessed this nation because, trust me, there's no way we could have beat the British twice. That's impossible. Only by God's intervention. You know, I got a couple of quotes here. One's George Washington. It's impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible. What's he saying? You need to, if you're going to govern, you need to be seeking the Lord. Here's your two ways. Abraham Lincoln, sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right. It's God who leads, not us. We follow. We're little sheep. By the way. Some of us are bigger sheep than others. Bad dad joke. But I can go on and on. Because you see this throughout the pages of history. It's the same thing. When we were seeking God as a nation, God was blessing us. He was walking right there with us every step of the way. But when we turned from God, when we said, you know what, Lord, You don't exist. We don't need you. We got these drugs. We got this. We got technology. We got computers. We really don't need you. We are ourselves gods. That's when God, we started to drift away from God. And as Israel, in our hearts, as a nation, we don't have God there. That's why it's important to keep seeking him. Hosea 10, 12 through 13, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Now you may say, but Matt, what can God do? But God's the God of the impossible. He can do anything. You look in scripture, you know, how many times did Hezekiah, David, pray to the Lord, and the Lord delivered them from their enemies? Gideon? You know, it happens every time because God makes things happen. And that's why we have to set our hearts on it. I try every day. I don't always succeed, but I try every day to pray for this nation and pray for a reversal, because that's what we really need. But it's setting my heart on God, for the battle belongs to the Lord, not on us. You know, we can see the stuff that's going on and stew about it and be in bitterness, but it does nothing for us. The one thing we truly have to do is seek God, because he's the one who can turn it around. I want to give you an example. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Cali Revival in Cali, Colombia. So this is the cover of Time Magazine from July 1st, 1991. During the early 90s, this town became the center of cocaine export. And as a result, you had crime, murders, drugs, extortion, all kinds of evilness. Sorry, I'm looking through Bryce's music pages trying to get to my notes. It's like, huh, C sharp. Interesting. But basically, the drug cartel controlled the entire country of Colombia. Kidnappings and torture were commonplace. Up to 15 murders were occurring per day. Bribery controlled the banks, businesses, justice system, police, political, anti-drug units. In this country at the time, there were only about 50,000 in the city, there was 50,000 out of a population of about 1.5 million who were Christian. And none of the upper class were Christian. It was all the lower class. So what happened? Well, in 1995, a group called the Thousand Trumpets was formed by the churches to start praying, to start seeking the Lord, made up of about 2 to 3 people per church. They got together to start praying. In March 1995, they had the first all-night prayer vigil at the city's civic auditorium. They expected only 2,000 people to come, but they got more than 25,000. When that happened, they actually had the first murder-free day in as long as they could possibly remember. And also right after that, the first drug lord was taken out. During the rest of 1995, over 900 corrupt policemen and other corrupt people in the justice system were removed. The rest of the drug lords were taken out. And Colombia became the city became drug free. And also as a result, the Christian population went up to 80% and included both the rich, the poor, and the middle class. In fact, they had an all-night prayer vigil in the local soccer stadium in 1998, where there was over 60,000 people who came. They overflowed the entire stadium, couldn't hold the capacity. They started holding prayer vigils outside. The city government initiated a pro-family project and asked Christians to manage it. The church was invited to meetings with government officials to discuss major problems facing the city. The State University Hospital, which had previously been closed to Christian ministry, allowed ministry teams to come in and pray with the sick, resulting in many healings. All because Some Christians got together and said, we need to seek the Lord to change the situation. We can't do anything about it, but he can. That's what we need to do in this nation today. You see, in this nation today, I don't know if you've seen it on the news, but you see people who are not believers who are saying, hey, we are on the wrong path. We need to get prayer back in the schools. You know, when you see people like that who aren't believers saying, hey, we need prayer, we should be jumping on that like really quick. I mean, as Christians, as believers, we should be leading that. The fields are ripe right now. There is so much depression, so much hopelessness, and we know the solution to this. And we should be taking action. We should be moving forward. Because one of the blessings from Jesus' death on the cross was we got direct access to the Father. Remember the veil torn too? So we can pray. We can ask God to bring prayer back in the school. We can ask God to lead this nation back to him. We can ask God to please get us to the point where we can say openly and proudly, in God we trust, and mean it. We can say one nation under God, indivisible. We can bring people to hope. Now, some people say, you know, well, gee, Matt, it's the end time. Shouldn't we just be focusing on Jesus coming and it's all good and, you know, fine? So a couple things with that. First, they said the same thing in World War I. Oh, this is the Great War. It's over. Jesus is coming. Yay! That was over 100 years ago. I still haven't seen him. You know, we don't know if we have 10 years, 90 years, 100 years, 500 years. Who knows? We should not stop because, you know, I don't know this book as well as some of you this in this room, but I do know that it doesn't say to stop. It says until the ending of the age. Yep, God never stops on us, so we should never stop on him. We should always be seeking because we serve a God of hope. We serve a God of the impossible. We should be trying to save the lost, helping those in need and doing good. You know, it's not God who forsakes us. We forsake God. God is always there like this. It's us who turn our backs to him. Psalm 9:10, and those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek. He doesn't forsake us. We need to seek him. Matthew 7:7-8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be open. So open that door. Seek the Lord this year. Actively seek him in prayer, in meditation, in worship, in Bible reading, church. Seek him with all your heart. So we're going to run through these really quick, but they're what keeps us from seeking the Lord. So the first one is pride. We know what we're doing. I can't say that, but we usually say that. We know what we're doing. We don't need God. I'm my own boss. I decide my own future. That's why we need to humble ourselves to get over it. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's God's promise. It's got his stamp on it. We just need to humble ourselves with it. Another way is fear of an answer. I admit I'm guilty of this one because I know what, I've been around the Lord. I know what he's going to say. I know what this tells me he's going to say. And there's times that I already know what he's going to tell me. And I really don't want to ask him. But I know I have to. And yes, that means that even making $2,500 a month, I cannot buy that $90,000 Corvette. Yeah. Shame. But we have to get over that because, you know, God knows what's best for us. We have to surrender ourselves and trust in him. He will get us through. Psalm 14:2, the Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. He's looking to see if we're seeking him. Another reason is because we've been bought in the lies of this world. In today's society, we've been told many lies about the cars we should drive, the houses we should buy, the lives we should live, what is marriage, what's not marriage, what sex are you, what species are you. I just put it in a blender. That's basically what it's like. But rather than seeking him who knows, we look at TikTok, Facebook, MySpace, the evening news. I don't know. I don't follow that. God willing, it went away. But that's the problem, is we listen to the world instead of God. You know, Colossians 3:3, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. That's what we have to do. God is above. That's why we have to seek him. Another reason is unbelief. There is the unbelief that God exists, let alone knows what you are going through. Most importantly, there's an unbelief that he doesn't want to hear from you or spend time with you. But like we've said, he created you for that specific purpose. You know, if you're having trouble finding out who you are and why you are, what you want and where you're going, ask him. He'll tell you. And you know, at first you may be like, oh no, God, nope, this doesn't involve a mansion, Ferrari, billions of dollars. But if you actually humble yourself and surrender yourself, you'll find out and say, God, you know what? You're right. That is far better than what I had in mind. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. He does. He blesses them. We also have our sin nature, because when we approach God, we can feel our unrighteousness, our sins upon us. But that's why it's important to ask God for forgiveness and to repent of them, because then you can draw near to him. When you draw near to him, he draws near to you. Isaiah 55:6-7, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Say abundantly pardon. Excellent. Somehow you guys have woken up even more. Good. He will. He's just waiting for you to ask. Finally, another thing that keeps us from seeking the Lord is we feel unworthy. It's kind of like unbelief or sin nature. We don't feel like we're worthy of God's attention. But we have to remember that God loves his children. For those of you who have children, if they've done something bad, like, you know, back the truck into a tree, you may be upset with them for the moment, but it doesn't mean you love them any less. It's the same way with us. God doesn't love us any less. In fact, he goes, all right, did you learn your lesson this time? Don't do it again. Come here. That's what God does. That's who he is. Psalm 119:2-3 says, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. That's what the people who seek him with their whole heart is. God keeps them from doing wrong, keeps them from iniquities. You know, in conclusion, as scripture says, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. So if the one who is in me is greater, why am I seeking the one that's in the world? I shouldn't be. He doesn't have the answers. He's not going to tell me the truth. But there is someone who doesn't lie ever, who keeps his promises, who's faithful even when we don't keep ours, who loves us without end, whose mercies are new every morning. And that's our Lord. And that's the one we should be serving. And God, you know, he knows all about us. He knows what we've done, where we've been. He knows who we are. Most importantly, he knows the plans that he has for us, plans to prosper us, plans for good, not evil. That's why we have to seek him. Now, this new year, usually people make resolutions, but this is a good time to do a self-check. How are you walking with the Lord right now? Can you spend more time with him? Can you draw closer to him? Have you fallen away? For those of you who don't know the Lord yet, it's kind of like being a little kid learning to swim for the first time. If you can think about it, you're in the shallow pool. It's about 3 feet deep. You've got your floaties on, so you're not going to drown. And Jesus is like the teacher. He's standing a little ways off from the edge of the pool saying, come on, come on. But what does the little kid do? The little kid is holding on to that edge of that pool with all he's got, screaming, I'm not going. You can't make me. No. Because the child wants to be in control. And that's each and every one of us until we realize that person in the pool with us has our best interests in mind. And they are in complete control. And there's no harm that can happen to us. And it's at that point of surrender, when we let go of that wall, and we find that when instead of sinking like we thought we would be, or a shark coming up and grabbing us, whatever our minds dream of, we're actually floating. And then we start moving our arms. And we start moving. And we go right to the teacher. And the teacher is just beaming. You know, it's like, you did it. You did it. Finally, you came to me. That's Jesus. And once we do that, we find that we can swim around the pool. There's no fear now. Fear's gone. And we find that it's actually fun. And we love being there. That's what we need to do with the Lord. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. If there's anyone here that you are holding on to the edge of the pool, unwilling to let go, please come and speak to me. If you want to know who Jesus is, please come talk to me. I'll be up front. If there's those of you here who feel like you're not spending enough time with the Lord, please come find me, because I can help you. Anyways, thank you.
Excellent message, Matt. Thank you very much. We're getting better all the time.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. We have Andy Frogel. I'm going to ask that you would come forward, and we're going to pray for Matt. And would you bless us with that? And I'm going to ask Paul to pray as well, and I will pray for him. We're going to give you, I've got a, by the way, Andy was a pastor in a renegade denomination, but he's filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
And he's a man of God.
Yes.
And he's a retired pastor. Paul actually is a retired pastor. Well, he used to be a pastor. He's retired. But I want to ask them to pray for Matt as well. But I have a certificate of license. Mm-hmm. This is to certify Matthew Wolford as one who has given evidence of a calling by God into ministry as a minister of the gospel of Christ and was licensed to function in ministry at as the opportunity may be presented and to exercise the God-given gifts in ministry by Life Change Christian Fellowship, Tillamook, Oregon, the 31st day of December 2023. So here you go, Matt. I'm going to pray and then stand off to these two. Father, I thank you for my brother, Matt.
Yeah.
Lord, I've been able to watch him grow, and not only grow in the Lord, but grow in his giftings. Lord, the way he touches lives. Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I know that he's going to continue to seek you. Lord, he's not going to fail you. And Lord, there's a passage of scripture that I just want to give him. Scripture says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so, Lord, we just pray that Matt would, as he studies and as he prepares, that he would be able to sense your spirit and rightly divide the truth, and to be able to present it just like he did today. And God, I pray that for deeper understanding, I pray for deeper wisdom. I pray, Lord, that there would be a deeper relationship, a deeper fellowship with you. And God, every day would be a like diving into the pool of your love and of your grace and of your mercy and of your blessings. We just pray for the blessings of the Lord upon him as he pursues the giftings and the calling that you've given to him. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this man of God. Thank you, Lord, for your guidance. Oh, you've guided this man to this point, and we know that you will guide him from this moment on. We thank you for that. We are counting on that. I know Matt is counting on that. And we know that your answer to that request is yes and amen. We ask, Lord, for your provision, that you would provide everything he needs, that you'd sweep opposition out of his way, and that you'd give him just ridiculous favor as he moves forward, step by step, moment by moment in you, and for your protection, Lord, that you will go before him, you will go behind him, you will encircle and encamp around him, because, Lord, we know you're sending us out as sheep, and we praise you today. You are wonderful, and this man that you're sending out today is wonderful in you, in Jesus' name.
Father, we've watched Matt over the last several years become a teacher and a preacher of your word. And Father, we ask that your anointing would be upon him, that you would anoint him with your spirit, that you would anoint him as a preacher, teacher, and as a leader. Father, we ask that you would be with him, that you would open your word to him, that you would give him revelation and insight. Lord, give him wisdom beyond himself. And Father, we ask, Lord, that I agree with my brothers. I ask that you would give him provision, Lord. Help him. Lord, give him everything that he needs to minister to your word. And we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.